Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Papa needs your help. Help him. Tell Dad, help Papa to help us. Tell Dad, help Papa to help somebody. Help Papa to impact our lives, to bring illumination, to bring change, to bring revelation. Help him to stay on course. Help him to help us in the name of Jesus. For this new decade, the next 10 years of our life, how is it going to be like? Is it going to be like business as usual? And if not, what it will be like? What will it be like? What will it be like? In the name of Jesus, command utterance, a free course of the word. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do a new thing. Wash us. Cleanse us with your blood. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse. Let the blood of Jesus purify. Let the blood of Jesus sanctify. Let the blood of Jesus bring a new order and a new course in the house. Thank you, Father. Impact every life. Let no one under the sound of my voice remain ever the same. Let no one return ever the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together. Welcome somebody to church, and you may be seated. Please take a minute. Welcome somebody to church. You may be seated. Back to the cross. That was where it all began. Christianity and true Christianity began at the cross. Before the cross, there was no Christianity. And so we want to go back to the origin of our faith. Amen. Come with me, if you please, to the book of Mark chapter 8, reading from the 34th verse. Mark 8:34.
And when he had called the disciples unto him with his, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
So the first thing here is self-denial, which we don't hear and see in our walk with God anymore. And in our Christian walk, it looks to me that this generation of Christians are into gaining, one thing, and wanting to get, to be blessed. And there's nothing wrong, like I see you breaking through, and I see you getting your visa, and I see you going to America or Europe or wherever. We see us a place that have greener pastures than our own country and our own land, even though the Bible said that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, which means that as long as there is land where you dwell, if you are willing and obedient, God will make sure you eat the good in that land. There is good every land, at every land, but it is God who determines, and it is your obedience and willingness to serve the Lord on his terms that gives you access to divine provision. It's not the land you dwell in. It's your willingness. Tell somebody, your willingness and your obedience determines your access to divine provision. Don't forget that. Write it down. It's very, very important, because people think that it is how hard you work. It is the kind of education or school you attended, is who you know, and it's your party, when your party is in power. So there are people, when their party is not in power, they become powerless, walk with a sense of hopelessness, live carelessly, walk aimlessly, because their source is their party being in power. But for you, a believer, your source is your obedience and willingness to the Creator. As long as you are obedient and you are willing to God, it doesn't matter where you dwell and abide upon the face of the earth. If there is land in that place where you dwell, heaven is under obligation to make sure that you have divine provision. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God some praise here. So this is the master, the head of the church, addressing the people and the disciples. And he categorically stated the terms of serving him and following him. Number one, he talks about self-denials, which this generation don't know about, are not interested in anymore. It's a generation that is looking at gaining and gaining and gaining. Please understand that faith is not just about getting or winning, but faith is also about losing and giving up something. Abraham, the father of faith, had to walk away from his kindred, his country, his entire family, friends, loved ones. He had to give up everything, walk away from everything, and come and serve the Lord. He left everything for a land he had no idea of and where he was going. So faith is not to gain only, but true faith is also to give up something or to lose something. Tell somebody, faith is not always about gaining and what you get, but it's also the ability to let go, to lose for the sake of Christ, to deny yourself of something for the sake of Christ. So this mentality in this generation of Christianity, where it's all about get, gain. Jesus said, no. If you are going to come after me, number one, if you be my disciple, if you are going to follow me, look at me. It's very important. Amen. Those of you who are bowing your head and you are praying, please don't pray now. I pray for you. So lift up your head and look at me. Amen. Look, it's very important. Look at me. Amen. Don't be praying when I'm preaching, okay? We finish the prayer, so after we'll pray again. But right now, look at me. It's very important. First thing Jesus said that we never talk about, he said, follow me. One. Two, deny yourself. Tell somebody, you must deny yourself. Tell somebody, it is mandatory and critical that you deny yourself if you follow Jesus. Those are the terms, though. Yeah, those are the terms. He said, if you are going to follow me, I require of you self-denials. That means you don't exist. Tell somebody, denying yourself means you don't exist. You don't exist. Tell somebody, yeah, you don't exist. That's self-denial. You see, the reason why we are offended about everything, we complain about everything, we are hurt about everything, we fight each other, strife, confusion, it's all because we are alive. Yeah. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, or let me change it, I'll bring back that. Let me go to Paul. Paul said, the life that I now live is by the faith of the Son of God. Yeah. He said, for me to live is Christ. That means I don't exist. And to die is gain. So I don't exist. Tell two people, do you know you don't exist? You, do you know you don't exist? Somebody say, what is Papa trying to do? I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, to follow him, you have to deny self. Say self. Say self. That is what, you see, the reason why today Christianity is difficult and people serve God by convenience and serve God on their own terms is because we are too conscious of self. This new decade, if your Christianity and your service to God and your work with God will be effective, you are going to have to stop being conscious of self and be God conscious. Tell somebody, God consciousness. Yeah. What does it mean to deny yourself? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was confronted. Yeah. He was confronted with the will of God and with his will. Yeah, he had a choice. He had a choice to go his way or to go God's way. And if he had gone his way, you and I wouldn't have been here today. Please hear me. What will make you and I relevant in our generation and after we are gone is doing the will of the Father, serving God at his terms, not at your terms and not at my terms. Don't forget that. Write it down. One day you will understand what I'm saying. As long as you want to serve God on your terms, serve God the way you want to serve him, you will never make an impact in this life. But if you want to make a difference, how many of you want to make a difference and want your life to count for something before you die? Give me a wave, offering. Are you sure about that? You want your life to count for something? You want to make a difference in this life? You want your life to impact somebody? You see, it is believed and said that the true sign of success is not how much money you had, or the education you had, or the houses or possession you acquired or possessed, but it is the lives you impacted or you touched. That is true success. If all you did in this life was to have education, marry, have kids, acquire property, build houses and possession, and that was all you did, and you died, you were a disappointment. One to humanity, two to history, and to eternity, you were a disappointment. You weren't born. You did not come into this world. You didn't exist if you didn't touch and impact anybody outside of your immediate family. You were selfish. You were self-centered. There is no way you can be God-conscious and not impact others. There's no way. So Jesus said, deny yourself. So the best example of self-denial is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was confronted with the will of God and his own will. And he did not have the details of the assignment till he got to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane he understood the full picture of the assignment. And there the Father said, okay, son, this is what it is. Tell somebody, it is what it is. Yeah. He said, you're going to the cross. You're going to die a shameful death. All your disciples will forsake you. You're going to be naked. The people you help, the people you bless will reject you. They'll forsake you. Everybody's going to betray you. You are left on your own. Or you can choose not to do it. But if you go this way, your name will be exalted above every other name. And at the mention of your name, every knee of things visible and invisible in heaven and earth and beneath ye shall bow. And God said, son, it's your choice. And Jesus said, not as I will, but I will be done. It means that God, I am willing to let go my will. I am willing to deny what myself, to deny myself. I'm willing to give up what I want In this life, I lay the crown and all my ambitions and dream in this life at your feet. You see, the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam is this. The first Adam wanted to do what he wanted. The first Adam was willing to have his way. The second Adam said, I'm giving up my way. Are you hearing me, somebody? That is what it is. That is what it is. Are you going to insist on your will? What you want in life? I remember when I had scholarship to go to Bible school, and I told my dad that I'm going to Bible school, and he said, "Nanus, what are you saying?" He said, "What minute you are going to Bible school?" I said, "I'm going to become a priest." He called some of my brothers and said, "Hey, Nicholas, Bonnie Benamayo." I said, "Dad, what do you mean?" He said, "You are going to become a priest. Do you know what it means to be a priest?" Who Nicholas? Who be your sofu? Aden, Bonnie Benamayo. Unko pe bibi nye. Who go your sofu? He was an Anglican. Born in an Anglican church. It was just recently I realized that my grandfather was an Anglican preacher. His picture is in my office. He's wearing his Anglican this thing. In 18 something, I saw him on the picture there. An Anglican preacher. Whether he was born again or not, that's another matter. But my father looked at me and said, "Nicholas, Bonnie Ben, am I here? Ah, dang. Now, won't be behind you, Yase? Say, oh, call you, or so for then." Because in those days, when you look at Osofus and preachers, they didn't look like this kind you are listening to and you are looking at. No. I cannot pay my hand all my con. Yeah, looking very religious and pious. I won't even move. I got to stand still and read everything. So this new generation of Christians, they are some way crying. And my father said, and what really got to me was the fact that he threatened that he would take my name out of his will. That bothered me. Because I thought that if I was going to do something very bad, but for him to threaten me to that level, it bothered me. There were two things Jesus said. As part of three, he said, one, follow me. Then two, he said, deny yourself. Number three, he said, take your cross. The cross here, he didn't say my cross, he said your cross. What is the cross here? This is a generation that does not believe in suffering. This generation, we don't like suffering. No. We don't like endurance. One of the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible calls long suffering. Today's generation don't want to suffer anything. Yeah, it's a generation that believes in pleasure. It's one of the signs of the end time. Lovers of self. Lovers of money and lovers of self. Those three things is one of the signs of the end time. Lovers of money. Lovers of self. Lovers of pleasure. We had a wedding yesterday at the Labadi Beach. While the wedding was going on, you should see and hear the music at the beach and how people were chilling and enjoying. You know, and I was telling Rose, I said, "Babe, you know something? I saw some even church people there. I have no problem with that." And I said, "You know something? And if you were there, I'm not condemning, I'm just telling you where I am." I said, "I don't have pleasure for these things anymore." Yeah, I look at them and I saw people sitting, lying by the pool, drinking, eating, enjoying, some by the beach, and they call it pleasure. This thing to me, it's sinking sand. It means nothing. It's boring to me. I have too many important things to do and to think about, going to lie by the pool there. They're not serious. And you know, for me, it's okay because I've been there before. Yeah. If I tell you the things I used to do, And if I mention some of the places we used to go and chill, some of you weren't born at that time. And those of you who were born, you have no idea. There have been some interesting places in this country and city before. It has all disappeared. Yeah. How many of you have heard of Rivera Beach? Give me a wave of Rivera Beach. Yeah. By the sea. That is where we used to go and do our stuff. I remember one time in those days I went to swim at the top level, and you dive from there into the water. And I was doing this diving, is 1, 2, 3 before you get in. And at the third level, I missed it, and I came into the water with my chest and fell in it. And you know why we're doing that? Me and my guys, there were these girls that have come around and were sitting there, and we wanted to impress them. Shagalele almost died for nothing. And people are still doing that today. Are you looking at me? Tell somebody, what are you telling your friend about what Papa said? What did you just say? This generation don't understand what it means to follow. Jesus said, if you want to be a Christian, follow me. Walk in my footsteps. 2, deny self. Self-denial is mandatory, necessary and required. If you be a successful child of God or Christian, you have to deny self. And self is tough. Then he said, take your cross. When I got born again, it was a serious issue in this country. Yeah. It was all over the place. Can you believe Nikki is born again? Nikki. Some of my girlfriends will come and visit me, and I'll be preaching to them. Then my father will call me. My father, he was on paper. He will call me and say, hey. Now, girl, no, almost in answer, won't feel at anyhow. Now, who see we are Christian? Do you know Nicholas? You tell someone, Bibi, here Nicholas, or Munchen here, Uniano. Bibi, funny trim. My father will call me when I got born again and I gave up some things to lose some things. I was trying to deny myself to follow Jesus. I didn't even understand at that time what I was doing. And my father would call me and said, your girl said these days when they come around, you are reading your Bible, you are praying, you don't give them attention. Now, Nicholas, what is wrong with you, my son? Nicholas, now, me a Christian, you're baptizing me. Christianity in the here. Too rough. Some of my girls and friends traveled from Europe to come to Church of Pentecost in those days. Attended the service. Bishop Nyaku is here, he will tell you. To find out if I'm truly born again. They came to church. I got some of them converted. Yeah. And some of them came to church to find out, you see, Nikki, are you born again? They came to church to find out, is it true that Nikki is born again? Yeah. People didn't believe it. Can mention some names, it will shock you. We live some serious lives, though. The Gokers, the Krobwedusays. I mean, it's a serious thing in those days we did. And when I got born again, they called me name. My own siblings called me name. Some people, they didn't believe I was born again. They said, hey, Nikki, wabibium. Called me names. And there were a lot of mockery. Yeah. Take up your cross. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Let's look at the scripture. Because this generation, when we get born again, We don't lose anything. We don't lose anything. I used to walk from airport residential area, go through Roman Ridge, cross through Bishop Ajinasare's church. There's some name of some, there's a name you call that place. It will come. Then from there, I walk through the Kaneshi residential, the Kaneshi industrial area to North Kaneshi to go to Church of Pentecost. It cost me something. I had no idea that God has called me to ministry. I didn't know I'd become what I am today. I wasn't preaching for a car. I wasn't preaching for money. I wasn't preaching to be big. I wasn't preaching to become important. I was not preaching for recognition, for nothing. So there are so many things that don't impress me. I'll be very honest with you. I filled the stadium in the early 80s. This stadium, I filled it with 300,000 people during the time President Rawlings was in office. I filled the stadium in the days of revolution. It was a very serious situation. And it was after that I was arrested because they saw me as a security risk. We jam everywhere in the city with Ura Robert and Ida Hosa.
Yeah.
I was the first to fill this stadium. Yeah. So when I see people talking about Clara, just look at them. It means nothing to me. I've seen it before. It's like a car you've sat in before and somebody is sitting in the car and is trying to blow up. I've sat that thing before. I've been there. Why are you now trying to bluff? Yeah. When Bishop T.D. Jakes came here and we went to the Independence Square, if you remember, we had over 30,000 people there. How many weeks did it take us to do this?
About 2 weeks or so. 2.5 to 3 weeks.
2.5 weeks. 30,000 people. And after that, I told Bishop Oboda there, I said, you know something? Let's do our thing here on the compound here. Let's stop spending all this money. What are we trying to prove? Forget it. If 2.5 weeks we can pack 30,000 at the Independence Square, I said, you know something? Let's stop this whole thing. I'm not impressing anybody. We'll do everything on our compound here. And I said, even if we don't do a watch night service, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, I want to serve God. I don't want to impress people. I don't want to be the biggest guy in town. I don't need that. Because you can be the big guy in town and before God and heaven, you are nothing because your motive is wrong. Yeah. Let me show you some scriptures quickly. Okay, let me show you some scriptures quickly. I got to go to the U Church and close them. Come with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 21 to 22. Mark 10, 21 to 22.
Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Come, do what?
Take up the cross, and follow me.
You see, you can't follow Jesus without taking up your cross. So there are people serving Jesus, following Jesus, but they haven't taken up their cross. Which means that you are not suffering anything. You haven't accepted the fact that following Jesus goes with some amount of suffering. Yeah. You have to suffer something. Suffering is part of our walk with God. There is the baptism of suffering. Different kinds of baptism. The baptism of immersion. The baptism into the body. The baptism of fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of suffering. Suffering is one of the baptisms in the Bible will teach you. You have to take responsibility of suffering. Personal suffering. Things that you suffer for following Jesus. Yeah. No pain, no gain. No suffering, no true Christianity. People died and gave up their lives for you and I to preach the gospel, to read the Bible, and to be here. Suffering is part of serving God.
Yes, sir.
I was saying to a lady yesterday, I said, "Sister, can you accept this and say to God, if you don't give me a husband for the rest of my life, I will serve you. If I don't have a kid, if I won't have children, I will still serve you the rest of my life." Are you willing to take that responsibility? Suffer for Jesus. People have, listen, you can't follow Jesus without accepting your cross. Suffering. And look at the next verse.
"And he was sad."
He was
that
sad.
Day. "And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions."
You see what had him? This guy wasn't following God. He was following possessions. His possessions had him. There are people in the church, the reason why they can't follow Jesus and can't deny themselves and can't take up their cross is because of their possessions and their position in society, what they possess, what they have. The confidence of some people, Christians in church, is how much money they have in their bank account. When you see some people depressed, it's because their bank account has come down. And when you see some people very happy in church, clapping their hands, they checked their bank account before they came to church. And it's on the increase. If your confidence in this life is derived from possession and what is you have in your bank account, you are to be pitied among all men. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Because money has expiry date. And it's very sad that there are church people who have put their confidence in possessions, in money, position in society, their background, who they are, and their confidence is not in God. And the day comes when you lie there and people are passing by. You know, these days it's like we celebrate the dead. She was so beautiful, so quiet. Oh, you should see, beautiful. And there are people, I don't say they shouldn't, who are expecting making people look very beautiful and handsome when they die. And you know what we are glorifying? Dust. From dust came us down to dust shall thou return. And when I tell people that it's not the person, it's dust you are looking at. The real person is gone. They look at me some way. I don't glorify the dead. What you are seeing is not the real person. That is dust. And we spend money to glorify. Oh, she looks so beautiful, so handsome. And I look at her and say, these people are very carnal. They don't have any spiritual sense. I'm not saying we shouldn't make our dead look good like we want them to. You can go ahead, I have no problem with that. But don't glorify the dead. Yeah. Bishop Doug said, if you want people to paint your house, pretend you are dead and they'll paint your house. When you are alive, they won't spend a dime on you. As soon as they hear you are dead, come and see how money starts flowing. You know, it's a very, very bad thing. And this man was sad. And there are people who are not following God, who are not denying self, and are not taking their cross. You can't follow Christ without taking your cross. You can't serve God without self-denials. You have to deny yourself. Yeah. If you want to follow Christ truly, you don't exist. And let me tell you something. Following Jesus is not about money, you know. It's not about blessings. It's not about prosperity. It's about eternal life. And it's not even about power. And it's not even about casting out devils. Because when the disciples came in Luke chapter 10, you see, if you look at from the 17th verse, go, and they were talking about even the unclean spirit are subject to us through thy name. Jesus said in the 18th verse, he said, don't take delight in that. Don't rejoice in the fact that demons are subject to you. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. But rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. That is what you should be concerned about. Eternal life. It's not money. Listen, God will bless you with money, but that is not the ultimate. He will bless you. That is not the ultimate. He will make you great. That is not the ultimate. He will prosper you. That is not the ultimate. Serving God is not about breakthrough and material things. Even though those things are necessary, that is not the ultimate. The ultimate here is your name is written. Is your name there? You see, before you are led in state, make sure your name is there. Make sure your name is there and your name remains in that book. Because it doesn't matter the kind of burial given to you. If your name is not there, you missed it. Yeah. Come to church. Do all these things. Have possessions. Build houses. Be big in this life. And your name is not there. If you know what happens when people die, you'll be shocked. Because when people die, two things happen. If your name is in the book, the angels come for you. If your name is not there, the demons come for you. Who will come for you on that day? You are sitting here, looking very dignified, and looking at me some way, from the perspective of self, from the point of view of your education, your upbringing, where you've been, who you are, who you know, your connections, how well behaved you are, how principled you are, how long you've lived and been around, and what you have, and your possessions, and what you have achieved, and all those things. Please give me a break. Tell somebody, you know something, give me a break. I know all that. Just give me a break. You know what impresses me is your name in that book. If your name is not in that book, then you have to be pitied. Because on that day, if your name is not there, it doesn't matter the befitting burial given to you. Demons are coming for you. And let me subject it to you. Demons are coming for you. But if your name is there, then you are his. And as soon as you step out of this body, the angels will come for you and say, welcome. Dad is waiting for you. The master is looking forward to receiving you. I have the charge to come for you. So come with me. No. Sometimes I travel to some nations. As soon as we come out of the plane, there will be people standing there with my name. Archbishop Duncan Williams, you are welcome, sir. We asked to pick you up. Please come with us. And whilst everybody is going one way, they take me another way. And you see the people looking at me. Hey, why is he going that way and we are going that way? I remember one time I went to this country. When we arrived, they came to pick me. And they took me through a path. And people were following me. And they told them, no. Go this way. You can't follow him. And I said, hey, on that day, Ebehu, yeah, on that day, you can't follow me. Yeah, on that day, the angels will take me one way, and you didn't serve God. And those of you who serve God, you didn't do anything for the kingdom. You see, that is one thing we also come to. Living in this life, I have a message entitled, God Expectation of Every Believer. God and heaven has an expectation of every one of us. That we win souls, we touch others. And there are some of us, since we got born again, we haven't won a soul for the kingdom. And some people think that as long as you pay your tithe, you give an offering, and you help the church, that is it. No. That is just one side of your responsibility. The main thing for which you were saved is to save others. You were set free to set others free. Heal to heal others. Touch to touch others. Rescue to rescue others. Bless to bless others. And that is one thing that will be required of all of us. This next decade we've come into, ladies and gentlemen, remember that you are held responsible for the salvation of your family and others. God is holding you. I will not be held responsible for the salvation of your family. You are. For if one is saved, that guarantees the salvation of the entire family. So God is depending and counting on you for the salvation of your entire family, your friends, your loved ones. If everybody in this church will win a soul, there will be no room on this premises here to hold us. Look at the people who came here 31st night. We were over 22,000 people. Where are they this Sunday morning? You won't see them again until 31st night. Where are they? It means something is wrong. Because if we are really waiting, then everybody in this church understand that God's number one priority is people, is souls, not money, not breakthrough, not a blessing. And that if you win souls and you follow God, you will never go wrong or never go hungry. I tell my kids, I say, you know what? You can take any profession in this life you want to take. You can be doctor, lawyer, businessman, you name, politician, be anything you want to be. But I said, for me, I won't trade preaching the gospel and winning souls for anything. Nothing. Some two people came to see me the other day, last year, and said, Papa, we think you should consider standing for president. I said, me? Hey. I said, how did you sleep last night? What did you eat before you went to sleep? I don't have anything against being a president, but that is not me. Yeah, I cannot. I am anointed to preach and to win souls. And that is my calling. And I will not trade it for anything. Amen? You can give me $1 trillion. And listen, I don't even know how to become one. Eh? Me, I go and stand on parliament. Then they bring me this long thing. Then I have to address finance, and address this, and address the road, and address all the regions. I'll put it aside, and I'll start preaching the gospel. I'll say, turn to somebody, ask them, are you born again? These people say, what kind of president do we have here? He doesn't know anything but born again. Yeah, I can't. I know what I was born to be. I know my calling. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say, I want this done. And they say, you have to go to parliament. And I say, do it and then go to parliament. Before parliament meet is done. I'm not a material for that. I can't do it. I respect presidents. And I respect politicians. And I'm a son of one. My father was a politician. I respect them. But I know what I'm called to be. I'm called to preach the gospel. God has an expectation of all of you. And one day, I'm telling you, write it down. One day, you will be asked when you stand before the king. And one of the things they will ask of you is not the school you attended, as much as school is good. Not the education. Not the houses. Not the money. Not the children. Not even your children and grandchildren. You won't be asked about all that. They will ask you, how many souls did you bring to Christ when you were alive? And the greatest blessing you will have, you see, Jesus said something. Go back to that scripture. He talks about, then you shall have treasures in heaven. And that is what a lot of Christians are not aware of. Treasures in heaven. Go back to verse 21. Let me see. Yeah, verse 21. Go back again. Then
Mark Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Turn to somebody, ask them, do you have treasures in heaven? It's a subject, Bishop. It's a subject we must address. Because Christians are living a life without building treasures or memorial in heaven. And then when you hear people say, I'm going to heaven, you're going where? Who going? You're going to heaven. Have you built treasures there? Is there any treasure there for you? What is waiting for you there? I'm going to heaven. You're going where? We have been built treasures. You haven't built memorial in heaven. You just live for making money, gaining wealth, land, houses. You haven't won a soul. You don't have a soul. Some of you, since you got born again, you haven't discipled one person. You haven't brought a soul to God. Souls don't concern you. There are some of you are here in this service. Your security people, your drivers, your cook and everything are in the house. Some are in the car waiting for you. You have come to serve God. You won't bring them to church. They don't deserve to be saved. You deserve to be saved. They don't. And after they open the car for you, you've come to receive the blessing of the Lord. They'll open the car, they'll drive you home till they die. You won't lead them to Christ. Do you know, I'll tell you something, I'm not boasting. For me, even my security in my house are born again. In the night when you come out, you hear them walking, patrolling, speaking in tongues. And some of them are pastors now. My security, they came as security. I got them born again. I've made some of them pastors. Security, I've made them pastors. Left to me alone, I will make every one of you here pastors and preachers. I'm telling you, if you leave me alone, even you old ladies and old men, you are looking at me like that, I will make you man of God and a pastor. I will get you born again. Yeah, preach the gospel. Treasures in heaven. Do you have a treasure in heaven? Have you built anything up there? He said to the rich man, give up your wealth and everything. Give it to the poor. Let go. The thing has you. Don't let anything have power over you. Give it all up. Tell somebody, don't let anything have power over you. Nothing. Yeah. Let nothing out. You see, I tell people all the time, if you make God and His work your priority, there are some things you don't pray about. I'm just telling you. Me, there are a lot of things I don't pray about, and it just comes. There are so many things I don't worry myself or pray about. They just come. I'm telling you. I get blessed in ways and means that blows my mind. And I've come to realize, one time the Lord said to me, He said, son, if you win souls for me, if you will intercede for my people and for your country and the nations, for the healing of nations, I will pay you. He said, I'll pay you. I'll pay you. Means... I will put you on my payroll. God has a payroll. And for those of you, watch this, the 21 days we are getting into. Let me tell you something. It's not every prayer we pray that is answered immediately. No. There is a prayer bank in heaven. I'll teach you as we go around. You see, there's a prayer bank in heaven. It's in the book of Revelation. Where the prayers of the saints of God is kept in the prayer bank of heaven as incense. Say incense. And a time comes when you've been in a situation where you can't even pray. And heaven will call on the prayers you prayed before. You see, so prayers are like you are saving money in the bank. You have a, how many of you have an investment and a savings in the bank? Just give me a wave of prayer. Nobody's going to go and break into it. Yeah. You see? So watch this. A time comes. You need the money, and because you've saved and invested, you can make withdrawals on it. So it's not every prayer you pray and God answers. No, there are prayers and supplications and intercessions that is kept in the bank of heaven for the day of need. And there are some times in my life that I've come through some things without praying, and I knew that it had to do with some prayers I prayed that weren't answered, but they were kept in the bank of heaven. And I'll show you how heaven calls upon your prayers as incense that comes before God in certain times of our life and the life of your children and your grandchildren and your loved one. The prayers you prayed in the past comes up before God in the form of incense. And God then moves on your behalf. So don't say, I don't have any need. I have nothing to pray about. I'm satisfied. God has been good to me. So, have you been good to anybody? Who have you helped? What have you done for the benefit of others? How many souls have you brought to the Lord? This new decade, live for the Lord. Win souls. Do something for God. Okay? Let me give you another scripture and then we'll stop here. I don't want to rush through things. Okay, come with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Mark 10, 28 to 30. Then Peter began
to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee.
So if you are going to follow the Lord, you have to leave something. Tell two people, to follow the Lord, you must leave something. Tell them. You have to leave something. And you know some of the things you have to leave? You have to leave self. You have to leave pride. Yeah. Arrogance. You have to leave your own point of view. I hear someone say, so don't I have the right to talk? You do. But if you want to follow the Lord, you have to give up those rights. Don't I have my own, you know, opinion? You have your own. Who wants to know about your opinion? When it comes to Christ, we are not interested in your opinion. Please put aside your opinions. Yeah. Those worldly wisdom and worldly opinions and arguments, I don't want to hear it. When it comes to what the word of God says, I'm not interested in your opinion.
That's right.
Please put it aside and submit your will and take responsibility and take your cross. Go ahead.
And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no one that hath left house.
So you have to leave house.
Or brethren.
Sometimes you have to leave brethren.
Or sisters.
Listen, I have to give up so many things. As I told you, I have 43 brothers and sisters. My mother had 6, my father had 37. Now don't look at me without your strange look. Some of you also have many brethren. But just looking at me because I'm talking about mine. You are sitting on yours. Everybody has issues in their family. So don't look at me with that strange look. Brethren, if you get born again and it doesn't cost you and you don't lose something, truly speaking, you are not following Jesus. But if you follow Jesus, you lose something. You have to give up something. You have to give up some friends. You have to give up some loved ones. You have to give up some boyfriends and some girlfriends. Yeah, you have to let some things go. You have to give up that nicotine and Johnny Walkers and all those things nobody knows about. Every one of you have your own issues. You are sitting here looking handsome, beautiful like that. If we put some strange camera in your bedroom. Hey! The things we will see you doing, sitting there like that. So you all have issues. But God is not in the business of exposing our nakedness. The blood of Jesus covers us.
Amen?
Amen? Oh, it's a good place to put your hands together. Yeah. Go ahead.
Or brethren, or sisters, or father.
Or father. Sometimes, when I got born again, my father said to me, at that time he said, James McKeown was the founder of Church of Pentecost. And my father said, stop going to that your church. These missionaries, they come here to steal our gold. And I understood him because he was a politician. He was looking at it from that perspective. And I didn't listen to him. I still went to Church of Pentecost. But I didn't disrespect him. I didn't dishonor him. That's why we are studying with the youth. What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? So if you're a young girl and your father and your mother says, you are growing, you don't have children, so go and sleep with a man and get pregnant and make babies. Do you obey them? But you honor them. You respect them, but you don't obey them because it's contrary to what the word says.
Yes,
and God is higher than your father and your mother.
Amen.
We have to establish these rules of engagement. So these young ones coming up have an understanding as they are working with God, so they don't run into crisis. Because the reason why a lot of young men and women are dying prematurely is because they are breaking God's divine order. They are dishonoring their parents, their father and their mother. And you will die prematurely if you dishonor your father and your mother. I'm telling you. And I have practical experience of my own siblings who died prematurely because they had serious issues with my father. And my grandmother would tell me that, Osafo, talk to Kwame now. This problem he has with your father is not good. Oh, talk to him. Osafo, talk to him. I think the Bible says that you have to honor. And I say, Nana, I know I'll handle it. And I'll go to talk to my brother, born again, been to Bible school. And you say, listen, you are Osafo. Me, I'm not Osafo. So you can go ahead and talk about all this, honor your father. That is wrong, and somebody have to face him. Tell somebody, And people have attitude like that in the church. The archbishop is wrong. Somebody have to stand up to the archbishop. You want to stand up to me? Try it. Yeah. And Kwame, I flew to London on Friday night. I called the house Saturday morning when I arrived at Heathrow. And Kwame was dead. He wasn't sick. I spoke to him Friday night. Nothing was wrong with him. I arrived at London. Called him Saturday morning. He was dead. And I called my dad and I said, Kwame is dead. And he said, Osofo, you have to talk to your brothers. Talk to Uni. Or see, Uni Anumehe Niwa Munkasa. Now, I said, what's with Osofo? Unim their Bible nuka. Now then I don't know mon kasana me see papa me kebi and you see can it din 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 because they are okay no monte. My father, he wasn't born again, but he knew the scriptures. Yeah. And you know what he said? He said, don't bring his body to my house. He's a cursed son. Take his body from the mortuary to the cemetery. Don't bring his body to my house. He's a cursed son. Then my grandmother said, Nicholas, tell me catch it. Me catch it, I will say, Adia Kwamine Yeno, Upapa, Mamunini Niagro. You know one thing I did about my father? My father was a chief, and he was a grand master for the Freemason. And I knew the old man was very, very powerful. One time, me and Bishop Nyaku planned to kill his snake. He had a snake in the house we live in. And in the evening, when he's sitting down, the snake will come and lie by him. So I told Bishop, we should fast and pray and kill this snake. Then after the second day of the fast, my father called me. He was then in exile in London. And he said, Nicholas. And he said, Osofo. Let me see, Papa. Then he said, your friend said, Owonu, go be Nkunu. I told Bishop Nyaku, pay if you want to. And you know what that is? We call it familiar spirit. Familiar spirit. We have the opposite. We call it word of knowledge. They also have it, familiar spirit. He knew by the familiar spirit that we're going to kill the snake. So I told Bishop Nyaku, I said, I knew you. But here. And when I saw how powerful my father was, you know what I did? I purposed in my heart that this man, I will never do anything to dishonor him for Satan to use him to speak against me. I purposed in my heart. And as difficult as it was to please that man, I decided that this man, I will honor him till the day he died. And I did. Because I knew that the day I crossed the line, Satan would provoke him. And I saw what happened to all my siblings he spoke against. And I said, you, I won't give you that pleasure. I won't give it to you. Yeah. So sometimes I did things for him to my head. And some of my siblings would think that, who the oil of suffering to be an wajem, be an wajem. Now see, debi. It's not because I'm a suffer. I understand the rules of engagement. This man is too powerful. He's too powerful in the demonic world for me to disrespect and dishonor him, for Satan to use him against me. I won't do it. And he didn't say, if your father is born again and your mother is born again, honor them. Yeah. He has nothing to do whether they are born again or not born again. Period. As long as they are your father and your mother, Bible says honor. And we have to look at this subject very, very critically. Because so many people are suffering in this life because they haven't honored their father and their mother. One of my sisters, Dorothy, had a problem with my mom. And when we were growing out here, hey, my mother would be fighting. Especially when we were at Wa and Bolgatanga. And my mom would say things like that. You, when you go to the labor ward to deliver, you know what it means to be a mother. So insult me, keep disrespecting me, talk to me anyway, and walk away when I'm talking. You go to the labor ward, you will see what pain is, and then you understand what it means to be a mother. My sister got married, started having babies, and all her deliveries, she had cesarean. They have to cut her. And when it comes to healing those wounds, it was no joke. She'll be breastfeeding and screaming in the night, pain, feeding the child, and at the same time in pain. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, in a service, and the Lord said, go to your hotel and pray. I didn't know what for. I went to the hotel, I was praying in tongues, and then immediately I understood through the tongues that my sister's life was in danger. So I called the husband, and I said, hey, what's going on with Dorothy? He said, how did you know? I said, don't worry about that. What's happening? He said, this time it doesn't look good. Too much complication. She was in labor and it was bad this time. So I called my mother and I said, Mom, I want you to do something for me. And she said, what? And I said, I want you to repeal the consequence of those words you spoke in anger. You cursed Dorothy. And she said, I never cursed. She's my daughter. I love her. I haven't cursed. I said, you did. And let me explain it to you. I said, those words you spoke when you were angry is a curse, and Satan is using it. And you go to the devil and tell the devil is between me and my daughter. I am revoking the power of those words I spoke in anger and the consequence thereof. Leave my daughter alone. It's between me and her. And I said, forgive her and release her. My mother called me the next day and said, I've done it. Do you know for the last time she had her baby without cesarean? And I'm told medically that when you begin with cesarean, you end with cesarean. So there was something responsible for the knife that kept on cutting her. And ladies and gentlemen, let me submit to you that so many bad things that happen to us in life have spiritual consequences. I'm telling you, there is something in the shadows and behind the scenes that is responsible for some of the things going on in your life. And until you address those things, you will serve the Lord and continue to have issues in life, especially if you are not following Him. You haven't denied yourself and you haven't taken up your cross. Look at the things you have to let go to serve the Lord. Father.
Left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother.
Or mother.
Or wife.
Or wives.
Or children.
Or children.
Or lands.
Or lands.
For my sake and the gospel's.
Sometimes it comes to all these things. To fulfill God's call on your life. You have to be confronted with some of these things. You see, that's why the Bible ends. You must rightly divide the word of truth. I'm just telling you. I was in America sometime, and the bishop after the service came to me in my hotel with the wife and said, Papa, talk to your daughter. And I said, why? And he said, she beats me. And I said, she does what? Beat you, the man? He said, yes. Action. She beats me. She will slap me. Take my shoes and hit me. So I asked her, I said, yeah, is it true? He said, yes, not always, but every now and then I beat him. And she was bold to say that in my presence. Yeah. And I said, why do you do that? She said, I don't know. Something just comes on me. And I become uncontrollable and stronger than him. And I said, okay, let me tell you something. From today. That thing that comes upon you is restricted to the void of space with divine authority and immediately. And I said, the next time you try that, this marriage is over. You are looking at me. You see, some of you don't understand scripture. When you go to a wedding, and you hear the preacher say, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Where was God and where was Jesus at the wedding? Was it not the preacher representing Jesus and representing God? You see, there are some things we don't want to face. So there's a lot of people misbehaving in the church. And they're using the same Bible that should protect us to get away with nonsense. I said, the day you touch her, I'm giving him the authorization to leave you, even though you are my daughter. So misbehave again. And I said, son, go and learn martial art. Before her, she's my spiritual daughter. I said, go and learn martial art. Learn self-defense. And next time when she wants to slap you, just do this. Yeah! Ha! Yeah! That is blocking. Say block. Tell somebody, block. Yeah! Yeah! Ha! Ha! Push her face. Or do your finger like, yeah, into her eyes. From that day up to today, they just sent me a picture of Christmas, the two of them. The marriage is beautiful. She stopped beating him. It's foolishness. And they needed their father to speak to them. She said, stop that nonsense. Beating a man, do you know what it means? Beating your head. Hey, mommy, are they? Yeah. She stopped.
Yeah. Bible says, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time.
Hundredfold in this world. Everything you give up for Christ and the gospel, you get it back.
Houses. And brethren. And
sisters.
And mothers.
Mothers.
And children.
Children.
And lands.
Lands.
With persecution. And
see,
in the world to come.
Eternal life. The persecution, we don't want it. We want all the blessing, but we don't want the persecution. This generation of Christians, we don't want persecution, so we want everything to be smooth. No. You suffer persecution. You will. I have accepted persecution. I have. And persecution sometimes go with misrepresentation. Yeah. You'll be misrepresented. Yeah. People misrepresent me, even my preaching. When I preach, they will find something to take something out of what I've said. To blow it and make a headline to sell. Once upon a time, I asked a guy in this country. He was very, very good in the media. And I said, listen, let me ask you something. Me, Duncan Williams, what have I done against you people? You know what he told me? He said, Papa, can I be honest? I said, yes. He said, we don't have anything against you. You're a household name and you sell. He said, what? I sell. So I said, so you are selling your papers through me? You are selling your papers by dishonoring and discrediting me to the public, putting all kinds of headlines about me. I was in Columbia, Maryland some years ago, and I had a call from an editor in London. And he said, are you Duncan Williams? I said, yes. And he said, I have a brother who is a drug addict. I'm told you have a drug rehab center. I said, yes. Those of you who don't know, we have a drug rehab center. We have over 100 drug addicts. And among all the drug rehab in Ghana here, we have 70 success stories. 70% success stories of our drug rehab. And he said, I have a brother. Can I send him to you for help? And I said, yeah, send him. I'll help him. I arrived in London, and I was very troubled on that day. I was bizarre. I felt some bizarre like that. Okay? Yeah. That's the best way to explain it to you. I arrived at Heathrow from BWI, and I saw headline, News of the World, Duncan Williams, a drug baron. And I said, hey, me? When did I arrive here? Then when you open the newspaper, it was about one of my brothers. He's here right now. As I'm preaching, he's here. He got involved with some drugs guy in Paris. And there was some confusion and a fight about the whole deal. And he said, listen, I'm a very honest person. If you don't believe me, ask my brother. He's a preacher. He mentioned my name. So they gave my name to these people. They investigated me. And in the newspaper, they said, how can you be delivering people from drugs and your brother is into drugs? That was the story that brought me in. And they messed my name. And then a local newspaper took the same thing, put it front page. It was, and people left the church because of that. people, they forsook me, they left me. I talked to them, begged them, called them. They won't return my call. They left the church. And I left it alone. Those were part of the sufferings I have to go through. And it was my brother. But I have to face it. And I'm used to sell newspapers. And people think they will go scot-free. You will not go scot-free. It's just a matter of time. You and your children, if you have children, your children will suffer the consequence. And in your old age, you say, why me? What have I done? What have you done? You use somebody's son's name to make money. You use me to make wealth. And you, listen, I have forgiven you, but the principle is clear. You will reap what you sow. You will not go unpunished. So keep on using my name in social media to gain points. Make money, confuse people, misrepresent me, lie about me, use me any way you want to. But let me announce to you, you will not go scot-free. There are consequences. It will follow you and your children, and it will follow your bloodline. Luasia talas, samalakum bahandili kiwatasis, idilu kan device, awandi alais. Kudabahand de Kulabahand Dabaniki Makundi Basayas Lakatuli Biki Dahandasitis. It's just a matter of time and to catch up with you. And you will know that scripture cannot be broken. For that which is written takes effect. And yea, it is written, as I have seen upon and under the sun, those who plow wickedness and sow iniquity shall reap the same. And those that throw a stone at their neighbor, it shall come back to them. And those that set nets for their neighbor, it shall catch them. And those that dig a pit shall fall into it themselves. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet, I'm through. I'll continue. Tell somebody, back to the cross. Bishop, it's yours. I'm going to the youth church. I love you.
Please put your hands together. Let's thank God for the life of the pauper of the house. Clapping. Amen. Three words, or let me say three expressions. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Amen. May God help us so to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads briefly. Maybe you are in the service today. You don't know Jesus. You don't know him. You are not born again. You are not a child of God. You need to begin at the right place. This is the beginning of a brand new decade. It is a great risk to be walking around without Jesus. Wherever you are, you say, I want to start this year right. I want to start it with the Lord. So I can serve him and ensure that my name is written up there. That on that day when I check out, I will confidently face my maker. Wherever you are, you can lift up your right hand quickly. You want to be born again? You want to give your life to Jesus? I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell. I want to live for the Lord. Please lift up your right hand wherever you are. And we will pray with you quickly. Anybody here who needs Jesus? Anybody here who wants to be born again? Anybody here who says, I want to start the year right? I don't want to go to hell. If your hand is up anywhere, can you please come forward? Can you please come and let us pray? I surrender all. I surrender all.
Surrender to the Lord, my brother and my sister.
I surrender.
To Jesus. Don't withhold it. Don't hold back. Give your life to Jesus. Wherever you are, you want to make peace with God, take advantage of the opportunity.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 2676 7655. +233 2676 7655. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.